welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
He started you on your way. I know you thought you picked out that outfit, but the outfit that he put on you is you, in him inside of you. Oh, yeah. Glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you, God, for putting me in the right place, this place, a place that we can feel that we can worship him. Amen, amen. Now, that's the Redeemer I know. I had told my friends that y'all were going to be nice today, but I guess I told them wrong. I told them that y'all wasn't going to show out, y'all were going to behave, y'all were going to sit in the seats like normal church people do. Right? I just like to recognize my friends from Bethlehem Baptist Church, Deacon Clark, if you would stand briefly, and Deacon Lamar, and his wife, Deaconess Christine. Now, they've already introduced Dr. Woodard. She was my advisor when I was in school. So now I don't know if she's showing up to check on me or something is wrong with my certificate. I just want to make sure everything is okay. I told her don't sneak in here like that. And then lastly, I'd like to just recognize my daughter. Now, she's not my twin, and she's not pastor in a female's body. She just looks like me. Stand up, honey. That's Nia. Amen. Amen. Hope she looks more like Wanda, but amen. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time, isn't it? There's a word from the Lord. It's coming from Exodus, the 17th chapter. If you can rest on your feet for a moment as we reference God's word. Exodus 17, chapter, verse 8, down through 13. When you have it, say amen. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites, and Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron, held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you, God, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, God, for the preached word, because now is the time, God. You don't get glory from this, God, but the people do, God. So I pray, God, that as the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my great redeemer. You may be seated. No pun intended. My great redeemer. Right? Think with me from this thought. Facing incredible odds. Facing incredible odds. I have to believe that as we get ready to celebrate 53 years of service here in the ministry of Jesus Christ at the Church of Redeemer, it has not been without facing some incredible odds. We have had to overcome some anxiety, some mistreatment, some financial insufficiency, some depression, some discouragement, some grief, some physical challenges with health, and even negative verbal humiliation of the church's character by the people who say that they love us. But the words of Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's why the hymn writer said, through many dangerous toils and snares, guess what? I have already come. See, sometimes as believers, we need to be reminded we need the presence of God, not just when things are going well, but in the midst of our circumstances. See, a good leader is one that knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. It was no different in our story today. The children of Israel have journeyed from the desert of sin to a place called Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. It says the desert of sin. That doesn't mean that it was sin as we know it based on our interpretation. That means that it's the place short for Sinai. So God wouldn't take you to a place that's sin, because we can sin all by ourselves. You ain't got to name it. Everybody in here is a sinner, saved by grace. He didn't say this is the church of sin. He says it's the church of Redeemer. So I just want to make sure that we understand what's going on in our passage. The little children were drooping like flowers. The cattle was on the verge of exhaustion. Hunger is bad enough to bear, but hunger only affects one organ of the body, whereas thirst sets the whole being on fire. You see, the Hebrew word for Rephidim signifies a resting place. So let me set the text up for you. At the beginning of this text, they're going from place to place according to God's command. The people get to this place that's called a resting place. That's what the name signifies, but it was no rest because there was no water to drink. And you know how people do. They get to a place, they're anticipating something good to happen, and it don't happen, so they get mad with everybody. The church is no different, and neither are the Israelites no different. So here it is, Moses cries out to God, but God tells Moses what to do. He says, just walk ahead of the people. This is in the same text. He said, walk ahead, let them see you, take some of the deacons with you, and then when you get to a place, I'll tell you, matter of fact, don't forget to take the rod that's in your hand, because that's what they know, and when you get to a place, I'll tell you what to do, and you'll be the remedy for what I need the people to see. Sometimes we're quarreling and complaining about nothing. Don't we remember what he already did? He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of slavery. And sometimes we forget. The people have been working, looking forward to this happy place named Rephidim. However, the place did not live up to its name. Therefore, we grumbled and complain. See, they were guilty of what I call ingratitude and unbelief, wanting to go back to the way things used to be. Isn't it amazing? God brings you out of a situation, a situation that may have been dangerous to you, harmful to you, and all of a sudden, when you get mad, you think about the bad things. You don't think about the bad things. You want to go back to the bad things as opposed to where you are. Now, does that make a lot of sense? Does that make a lot of sense? Somebody done fired you from work. They told you they don't need you no more. You got a new job, and you still want to go back to the place that they told you to get out. That makes a lot of sense to me. You see, we will test the Lord. We want him to move down in the small details of our living to prove himself over and over again when things are not going according to our plan. It's important that we get out of our way, but it's important that God accomplish his purposes and receives all the glory. See, God permits trials so that he can build godly character in us and make us more like his son. So Moses cries out to the Lord. The lack of water wasn't Moses' fault, but despite the pressure and unfair attack by the people, Moses had to lead them to the answer. See, the Lord gave Moses the remedy, and he did as the Lord required. A couple chapters before that, in chapter 15, if you remember, the Israelites were traveling and they got to Marah. And the same situation happened. They wanted water, but the water there was bitter water. So God gave Moses the remedy. He told him to pick up that piece of wood, toss it into the river, and the water became sweet. Again, this was only a couple chapters ahead of that. They forgot about that. They went back to their ways. You see, everything God is ever going to do for us has already been done. And every healing that we need in our body has already been provided. Every opportunity he has opened for us has already been opened. Every stronghold we have asked God to break, he's already been broken. Every victory we are going to experience has already been won. The joy I so desperately need or seek has already exist. The peace and unrest we search for at night already is present. And it's always amazing to me, no matter how much we complain, God will never leave us or forsake us. He's already given us the victory. So it brings me to my text. In the beginning of our text, the Amalekites came and they attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. What was interesting about the Amalekites, they were descendants of Esau. The next thing you need to know is the strategy. They always attack from the rear. The reason why they attack from the rear, because they know that women and children and feeble people were at the rear. So it gave them an advantage. They knew you had all the strong people, like we got the deacons that sit up front. And I ain't saying people in the back are weak, because ushers, we need you. I'm just trying to set the frame up. But this is what the mindset was. They always attack from the rear. It is just when we feel most safe that we should be most cautious. See, I know we all got alarms at home. And so turning on your alarm in your house don't make you feel no safer. In your mind, you think you're safe, but burglars, they know how to get past the alarms. Just keep reading the paper. Look at the news. They break in banks that are locked up. They break in stores that are locked up. Don't you think they know how to get into your house? That little padlock you got on there, they ain't going to keep you. Better praise the Lord. The Lord puts his hedge of protection around us. His guardian angels is watching over us. That's why you ain't had no break-in. You talking about this fancy new lock, this technology. To go to the doorbell, they can see me. That don't mean nothing to a burglar. They want to get in, they'll get in. So Moses told Joshua to choose some of the men and go fight. That word choose in the Hebrew is bahar or bahar. It means fit men. Select the best. Don't get somebody that's already been over that can't fight. Because everybody wants to fight, but everybody is not able to fight. That's why even in armed service, they don't call people like me. Because I'm too old. But they look for the young people like Bishop. They want him. He's ready. This is what Joshua did. He chose the men. Then the next day, Moses took his position overlooking the field of battle, equipped with the staff of Elohim. Moses lifted his hands symbolizing the power of Yahweh upon the fighting men of Israel. And as long as he had his hands up, Israel prevailed. This was really facing incredible odds. Here are the points I want you to take away from this text. The first point is battles are won through collective worship. Battles are won through collective worship. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He singled out some proper persons for battle and arrayed them with armor and led them forth out of the camp and went forth at the head of them and fought with Amalekite. No matter how heavy the load, whenever the community of faith decides to lift its hands together, fighting for any cause become easier. See, victory in this struggle starts with who we believe God to be, what we think God has placed in our hands, and with whom we shall share our praise. God gave worship to Israel as the means to express its relationship to God. Therefore, worship is not only grounded in past redemptive events, but in anticipation of what is to come. I'm reminded Howard Hendricks, a former professor of Dallas Theological Seminary. He also was a past preacher for the Promise Keepers. He says, when your memories are more exciting than your dreams, you begin to die. He said, healthy churches must continue to find their greatest joy in their dreams, not in their memories. In other words, as Dorothy would exclaim in The Wizard of Oz, we ain't in Kansas anymore. We cannot return to something that no longer exists. Why you keep going to go back? Jesus already went to the cross at Calvary. And he said when he died on the cross, that settled your debt. Why do you still want to keep going back? Why do you still think you're in bondage? He said we're not in Kansas anymore. We're moving forward to the King. Battles are won through collective worship. The next point, point two, victory in the struggle is sustained through the roles we play in battle. Victory in the struggle. We all got a role to play. We're all in this battle together. We see that when Moses' hands dropped down and he began to faint, Aaron and gave him support. See, holy companionship is helpful in the hour of severe moral conflict. Christians should seek to hold up the hands of the minister. In other words, we must bear one another's burdens. I say to the deacon board and the chairman, Pastor needs you to help him hold his hands up. Deacon Williams, are you with me? Deacon Nix? Barbara Brown, I need the trustees to help Pastor hold his hands up when he get tired. Pastor needs the ushers to help him. Pastor needs the clergy to help him. So when my hands are down, I get weak. Somebody ought to hear me today. This is what Moses was confronted with. See, when the arms of the church are uplifted, her troops prevail, and when they're let down, they are defeated. We must remember even the insignificant members of the church may render service to those who are in battle. That's why in the battle we need everybody. We need everybody fighting for the cause of God. See, our usefulness to God is not measured by the character or the capacity of our gift, but by our willingness to use the gift. You have to be willing to do what God has called us to do. Because we're in a battle. Victory in the struggle is sustained through the roles we play in battle. What about the battles which take place in our churches on Sunday morning? The battle for power, the battle for attention, the battle for recognition. Where are the Aarons and the herbs in the church? Pastor didn't call my name. We rehearsed my song. How come we ain't singing it? We cannot allow the outside voices to come in and change our battle plan. The church is in a battle for discipleship to ensure that the plan of salvation is available to all. We are to thank God for the call of leadership that has been placed upon the pastor's shoulders. However, we are to never lose sight of our own role in freedom of struggle. Therefore, when the pastor's hands are lifted up, we must be in the right place to support him or her. Victory in the struggle is sustained through the roles we play in battle. Here's my third point. We experience victory when we all work together. When we experience victory when we all work together. All too often, congregations place too much responsibility on the shoulders of the pastor alone. And too often, pastors fail to allow congregations to help them in the planning and the execution of the work of the church. See, Moses had persons who held up his arms while he did the difficult work he had to do. You see, in ministry, there are no long rangers without Tonto. See, in ministry, what would Batman do without Robin? See, in ministry, what would the Roadrunner do without Wile E. Coyote? See, in ministry, what would the cartoon Tom do without Jerry? Just as Aaron and Hur needed Moses, Moses certainly needed Aaron and Hur. And even though the pastor is the leader, carrying out the work of God requires full participation. It's the pastor who helps us to grow in our faith, far beyond our religious ritual. It is the pastor who helps us learn how to live a life that is pleasing to God. It is the pastor who instructs us and strengthens us for midweek faith, who empowers us to do justice in the right spirit, because these are the lifestyles that are pleasing to God. God's chosen servant must expect opposition and misunderstanding, because that's a part of what it means to be a leader. And leaders must know how to get along with God, pour out their hearts to God, and seek his strength and his wisdom. Let me cite a piece of poetry in building a leader. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world should be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands, while his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, when his good he undertakes, how he uses whom he chooses and with every purpose fuses, by every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's all about. That's a little poetry about how God used a man. I was going to use that with the men, Deke, but I guess I'll do something else. So, what does this mean? I'm done. But y'all know what that means. I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you a story. I'm reminded of a story about a father who had three toddlers, and they enjoyed swinging in the backyard. From the oldest to the youngest, they enjoyed backyard swinging. However, they didn't know how really to swing without the help of each other. In other words, every time they tried to swing, they realized that they didn't really have the leg strength that it took to get to reach the elevation that's required in swinging. But here's the point. But when they got behind one another and pushed, they were able to reach the high heights that was needed. I just stopped by to tell the church today, we go further when we don't mind helping each other. We go further when we just don't mind getting a push. The task ahead of us is never as great as the power that's behind us. I'm reminded of what Paul said. He said the body is made up of many members. He said the foot doesn't say to the hand, I don't need you. He said the eye doesn't say to the ear, I don't need you. He said that we need each and every member. See, what would the eye do or be without the ear? What would the foot be without hands? I'm so glad God put everything in order. He chose them in a proper way. See, we can go further if we allow God to use us as members. We need each other. We need each other each and every day. We need each other each and in every way. Sometimes doing the right thing for others helps us to do the right thing for ourselves. So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the whole world. So here we have Moses standing on this mountain, looking over at the battle, his hands reaching up. He was praying as a sign of submission. He was saying, God, we need you. And then when his arms fell down, the deacons came over and held his arm. The trustees came over and held his arm. The musicians came over and held his arm. The battle was continuing to go on because Moses was praying to the Lord. How many know we need to be on our knees thanking God for everything that he does? For every member is important in the institution of God's plan. I'm so glad today. Are you glad? The battle is not ours, but the battle belongs to him. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Pastor is really done this time. So what does it mean to be saved? We're saved from being dead in our trespasses and sin. We're saved from being controlled by the ways of the world. We're even saved from being a slave to the lust of our flesh. Is there one today that is outside the ark of safety that don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins? All you have to do is just admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is God's son. If you would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says salvation is yours. Now, Pastor has been here preaching 3 weeks, maybe four. I can't keep count. But one thing I do know, that we all are not where we need to be. And until you get to where you need to be, we can't move forward. So I'm saying we've all had to take this walk. Is there one today, man, woman, boy, girl? Is there one today that say, I need the Savior? Is there one today that say, I want to unite with this church in fellowship? Is there one today that said, I want to be strengthened? Is there one today said, help me to see myself? We've all had failures and wrongs. I'm a chief sinner like Paul. But I know if we come together to help one another, we can be encouraged along the way. We don't really care about your past. That's between you and God. But we do care about your future. Is there one today? All you have to do is just step out on faith. Is there one? We'll walk with you. I know people talking about you saying, you going to church? Yeah, they said the same thing about me. Look at me. They said, you preaching? All that you used to do? I said, yeah. God worked that all out. All right now. Is there one today? Is there one today? We love you. We love you just as you are. We're not pretending. We're real. This is a real place. I just want to make sure you don't end up in another place. Is there one today? Come on, we'll wait on you. Come on, choir. Is there one? Come on. Come on, man, woman, brother. We love you.